at the hook, but any of those four other items, you can mix them up. So I'll just say, give me five options for each. I'll see them. And then I can just mix up, you know, the hook with whatever order that I want them to fit. And it's so easy to do. Hey everyone, this is Norm Ferrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing how to unlock your customer demand year-round. We're going to also be talking about how can business move beyond relying solely on Black Friday sales throughout the year. Why is it essential for Shopify stores to create unique demand moments throughout the year? And what are the risks that businesses face when they fail to generate additional demand? All right. So welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the Amazon and FBA podcast. I just realized I said the Amazon and FBA podcast. It must be Monday. It's the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. All right. Today, we're going to discuss how to unlock customer demand year round. And my guest, one of my favorite people, is an award-winning e-commerce sales expert, entrepreneur, instructor, and speaker. His agency, Socialite, was honored with the Agency of the Year Award at Digital or from DigitalMarketer.com in 2022 and is one of the only few Klaviyo Platinum partners worldwide. His team has hosted over 30 Shopify meetups across North America and that connect, educate, and empower store owners to grow in a competitive e-commerce space. And I'm talking about Scott Cunningham. But before I get to Scott, let's have a word from our sponsor. Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. And we can now, I'm just grabbing my coffee, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and welcome my buddy, Scott.
Hey.
Hello.
Norm, good to see you again, my friend.
I like that background. Is that a background or is that a green screen or is that real?
That's a real background. That's my brick loft that our office is located inside.
Wow. In upper North Canada.
That's right. We're the most northern city in the world with a population over 500,000.
Oh my gosh. We're talking about Edmonton, Alberta.
My fellow Canadian friend. Yes.
Yes. So we can talk about Timbits and, you know, all the other good Canadian things.
Maple syrup.
Wayne Gretzky. Yes. There we go. We have at least three things that we can talk about. Okay. I know that you can talk all day about Shopify, but this is going to be very interesting. A lot of people that are on the podcast, a lot of listeners are Amazon sellers, but they're also trying to break away, not necessarily off the platform. But I know Simon would if he could, just to get into other areas. And a lot of the times when I go to events, I hear how tough it is to go over to a D2C business because, you know, Amazon, you've got a captivated audience. It's the largest search engine out there for products, right? So if you want to buy something, you go to Amazon. Shopify, it's a whole other world. So I do want to get that across, right? That maybe we can touch a bit on that about the confidence that you can provide people if they do it right, what can happen? What are some of the results?
Yeah. Great question, Norm. So yeah, obviously it's two different worlds between Amazon and Shopify, right? Like as you alluded to, Amazon has an existing marketplace. On Shopify, you set up your store. Guess what? No one's showing up the next day. There's no traffic. There's no marketplace. Shopify isn't sending traffic to your store for you in the same way that Amazon can expose your products to new customers. So on the Shopify side, It's, to be honest, it's a bit of a grind in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a grind. Now, the one thing that you need before going down that Shopify path, I would say to anybody, if you're considering going on Shopify, you need product validation. So you need proof that customers like your products. This is why we help a lot of people who are already selling on Amazon make the move to Shopify, because they already have validation. They have lots of testimonials, good reviews. So as long as we got validation that somebody likes our products, we believe in the Shopify side that we could find more customers like that online. And it's a bit of a grind in the very beginning, because you're trying to figure out, you know, unlike Amazon, where you go to a marketplace, you put on some ads or you do some organic listing optimization and you can get in front of customers right away. On Shopify, we have the saying, if you build it, they likely will not come. Right? So we got to go out there
and find
customers, attract them to us. And so it's really important that we nail our messaging. That's the big differentiator, is that we got to be super awesome, smart marketers and make sure our messaging is doing a good job of getting in front of people, interrupting their day and driving them back to the site to shop.
This is a whole different rabbit hole, but something I've learned from you since we met 2 years ago, I think. It was longer than that. When we met at Waseem's event.
Digital startup.
Yeah. Digital startup. TBIF. Hook TBIF. And now it's adopted into our, you know, anything that we do. In fact, I was talking to a new client of mine and I just said, you've got a problem with everything that you're doing. You don't have a hook and you don't have, I went into TBIF. Just very briefly, can you talk about TBIF? I don't want to go an hour on it. We could go an hour on it, but what is the TBIF principle or strategy?
Okay, so I do have a 10-hour version. I also have a 2-minute version. Okay, so I'll give you the 2-minute version. And this is key. Remember, I talked about this. On the Shopify side, we got to go on to Facebook and drive ads, interrupt people's day, agitate them, compel them to come visit our site and shop. So we got to get really good at positioning our products. And we have this offer stack formula that is a tool to articulate our position, right? So positioning is the thing that's going to compel people to buy. This offer stack formula that you're talking about, that's how we articulate our position in the market. So it's 5 ingredients. The first one, like you said, it's the hook. The hook is calling out an undesirable situation that the customer's in. It's a pain point or a desire. We're basically saying, are you fed up with living with that thing? Like AG1 Greens, you know, like the smoothie company, they sell those really healthy green drinks. Mm-hmm. One of their hooks might say goodbye to your daily pill routine. Say goodbye to your daily pill routine. Doesn't explain what we do, but it serves as a qualifier for anyone who's fed up forgetting to take their vitamins every day. And then they're agitated and they're like, ooh, I do want to say goodbye to my pill routine. Tell me more. Then what they do is, if you've won their attention and they're interested, they interrogate you with 4 lines of questioning. So they're going to be like, okay, yeah, I want to say goodbye to my daily pill routine. The first thing they might ask is how? How do you solve this? So the first ingredient is function. And this is about your features and benefits. Well, we have a smoothie that has 72 nutrients and it has all these supplements and you take it once a day, explains how it works, the use case and the benefit. Then they're like, okay, cool. Got my attention. Get how it works. Who sells this? Who is selling this? So we address this line of questioning with what we call brand attributes. And you want the customer to align with your values, your mission, your voice, your values. And a lot of the times with the Shopify side, we like to tell our founder story to position ourselves as the category nerd. I went on a mission to solve this. I almost failed. I almost drowned, but I got back up and I solved it. And I'm now solving it for more people. And people buy into that mission and they look at you as the nerd. So with this second or the third ingredient here, hook, function, brand, this is about triggering instant likability and relatability, where the customer's like, ooh, I love this company immediately. Then they're like, okay, you got my attention, get how it works, love the company. Is this company legit? So with this one, we want to leverage third-party endorsements. We call this influence attributes. Customer testimonials that you would have on Amazon, reviews, certifications, awards, publications you were featured in. And then people are like, wow, you got my attention. Get how it works. Love the company. People are saying amazing things. The last question is it worth the price? So does my perceived value of the product in the moment outweigh the cost? And that's what we're trying to do with this five-part formula, is stack so much perceived value that it'd be a no-brainer to say yes. They're just like, yep, I'm going to buy. And with that last one, we don't want to leave that to chance. We call these transaction attributes. So we want to take away risk or add an incentive. So it's buy one, get one 20% off. It's free shipping over $200, or it's limited time, right? It could just be urgency, limited inventory, scarcity. It could be 30-day money back guarantee, taking away the risk. And when you have these five ingredients working in synergy, your positioning is going to work well, and you're going to get more people saying yes, which is so important in the Shopify side, right? We're spending to get in front of people. So if our five ingredient formula is effective, we're going to get our money back. We're going to acquire a whole bunch of customers and build up our customer base that way.
You know, I've taken some time. I'll do, and I actually, part of this is from you as well, but I've built out an avatar. I'll do this all usually on ChatGPT, just with prompting. And then what I'll do is I'll add in all of the information that you just mentioned prior to TBIF. And, you know, that is your value statements and your brand story. And I'll just build it up as much as I can. If I've got a branding document, like, I'll add that. So the LLM will understand at least what the tone is, our voice. And then I'll start layering this in. And this is one that I think AI Bootcamp, I think it was called, at Digital Marketer. I learned that from you, was the prompt for this. And now all I do is I save the prompt and I'll ask it for about five options. And the beauty of what you just said, and I think this is so important for people to understand, is that you've got the hook, but any of those four other items, you can mix them up. So I'll just say, give me five options for each. I'll see them. And then I can just mix up, you know, the hook with whatever order that I want them to fit. And it's so easy to do.
It's like, it's like making omelets. I often use the omelet analogy. It's not about having the perfect ingredient and following the order. It's about mixing and matching these ingredients. We call these, so you're right, it's the hook plus the TBIF value attributes. Thank Buddha, it's Friday.
Yep.
TBIF. It's actually transaction, brand, influence, function. So we're just mix and matching a hook here, brand attribute here, influence attribute here. But as long as we're intentional and we understand which ingredients we're using, we can pivot when things don't work, right? And what you're really trying to do is serve up these omelets. Like, one day I'm going to serve up my audience bacon, sausage, tomato. The next day it's going to be green pepper, cheese, and onion. And I'm just mixing and matching to figure out what's the fan favorite. And there's always a clear fan favorite when you're testing different versions of the formula.
Right. And I guess we haven't gone too down the rabbit hole too far, because this does come back with what we're talking about today. So when you're doing marketing, this is definitely a strategy. And you'll actually notice this if you're watching TV. Watch it. And it's going to answer all of what you just talked about, which is really cool. All good marketing campaigns answer those questions. It's really cool. And when you realize it, it's like, oh my God, that commercial just did that. That commercial just did that. That post, it's phenomenal.
It's really the only questions customers ask in the buying process. We preempt their objections with the offer stack, and then it's a no-brainer to buy.
Yeah, it's so cool. And thank you for that. Okay. Let's talk about moving beyond Black Friday. So I know a lot of people talk about Black Friday or Prime Day, and those are the big ones. They spend all their time planning for this. But how do you generate income to get that plateau of sales, you know, all year round?
Yeah, this is a hot topic. Obviously, there's a massive opportunity to generate a lot of sales during Black Friday. We right. always want to capitalize on that opportunity. So I'm not here to say don't do Black Friday. I'm here to say don't put all your eggs in the Black Friday basket. Because if you set your expectations incredibly high for Black Friday and it doesn't go your way, what are you going to do?
Right.
Are you going to quit your business? Are you going to wait till next year for your next shot? Right. That's a scary proposition to depend on Black Friday for your success. And I'm not kidding. I see businesses do it all the time. So it's not just me speculating. This is what a lot of businesses do all year round. They kind of like get a few sales. Black Friday, it's all or nothing. Now, we kind of look at it a little bit differently. Okay. There's really two things that are happening with like Shopify sales. I would argue like any business, if you want to have a successful Black Friday, if you don't have any successful promotion, if you want to have a successful product launch, if you want to have a successful Valentine's Day, you need what we call a base built on evergreen growth. Okay. Have you heard this term evergreen? I'm sure you have. Sure. As a yep. Seasoned marketer, right? So evergreen just means there's no expiry date. So before you launch promotions, which do have an expiry date, they have a start and end date, you want to have your always on campaign producing consistent momentum. So this is what we teach, you know, in Merchant Mastery. Obviously we have an agency. This is what we do. We first focus on getting evergreen growth working. And there's only four pillars to it. There's what we just went over, positioning, getting that right five-part formula, getting your Shopify store optimized with the five-part formula, getting your email automations, your flows, and your email campaigns performing at about 20 to 35% of your revenue. And then the last piece is the traffic driver, it's the ads. And these ads are not talking about events. They're not like this weekend only. These are your always on ads that are always selling your product to your market. So when you have these four pillars working, that's when you will see consistent evergreen growth where you don't see massive spikes. You don't go from a 2 return on ad spend to a 13 without changing a lot. So with evergreen growth, it's good, it's stable, but it's not highly profitable. Okay? You're basically juggling this never-ending vicious cycle of I need more money for inventory, I need more money for ads, I need more money for operating costs, and you just always need more cash for ads, always need more cash for inventory. So there's a really vicious sales cycle that doesn't leave you left with much cash flow at the end of the day. Like you might be profitable in your QuickBooks or on paper, but you're not really seeing a lot of that profit. Where is it all going? So when this is the key though, is building that stable evergreen system so that you have a big email list, a ton of existing customers who you can market to with your big events. Okay. So step one is like, get those four pillars working for you, get that evergreen system going, and then we're going to capitalize on events and these big moments. Right now, just to address your initial question, you said, how am I generating sales year round? Okay. So with most businesses, they are piggybacking off of a moment in the year that is generated by a cultural phenomenon like Black Friday. Mm-hmm. So Black Friday, the market generates that demand. We don't need to do much to generate demand during Black Friday. We piggyback off of that moment. Okay. And then a lot of businesses will say, okay, great. I'm piggybacking off that. I'm flying. I had a big sales month. And then in addition to that, though, some businesses are like, okay, I'm going to choose a second gifting holiday in the year. So maybe I'm going to piggyback off Valentine's Day. Maybe I'm going to piggyback off Mother's Day. Maybe I'm going to piggyback off Father's Day. So a lot of businesses, if you're not just doing one big spike, they might add in a second. But that's still not enough. Because imagine this. I piggyback off Valentine's. I'm a jewelry brand, let's say. I'm a jewelry brand. I piggyback off Valentine's Day. I have a nice big sales spike. That's February. Now what am I going to do? Wait all the way till Black Friday? Okay. And if I wait all the way till Black Friday, my cash gets depleted. My cash gets depleted. I had a big spike during Valentine's Day. Now where's all my cash? Uh-oh, Black Friday is coming. This is my big moment. What do I need for it to go well? Cash. Okay. Because I need more inventory. I need to prepare for that. I need more ad spend because I'm going to go all in, but we don't have any cash. So the best kind of businesses don't just do two events a year. They do a big event every quarter, at least. And a lot of the big brands that we work with at our agency, we're doing something significant every 6 weeks. Okay. But at a minimum, we want to do a quarterly campaign. Now, this is pretty important piece of this story is that, remember I said, if we do Valentine's Day and Black Friday, we're piggybacking off of cultural moments. So there's only so many big cultural moments in a year that we can piggyback off of. Let's just say there's two. So what do we do for the other two events? Remember, I wanted to do one every quarter. What are we going to do for the other two events? Well, we need to create events where we drive the story. We generate the demand. All right. So the way that we're going to do that is through our own narrative. It could be something like a big product launch. It could be something like a big influencer campaign, a big PR campaign. Or it could be something like a holiday that is obscure, but makes sense to our brand and we own it.
Right.
So we sell pet products. And are we going to align ourselves with back to school? No, that would make no sense. Are we going to align ourselves with National Pet Day? Ooh, that makes a little more sense. Right. And if I'm an apparel brand, am I going to align myself with National Pet Day? No. Am I going to align myself with back to school? I probably would. So if I'm the pet brand and I'm aligning myself with National Pet Day, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to treat National Pet Day like it's bigger than Black Friday. I'm going to showcase images of my customers and their animals and how we change lives and all the testimonials. And maybe I'll launch a new product on that day and I'll build a wait list. I'm going to treat National Pet Day with the same gravity and strategy as I would a Black Friday to generate that buzz for my own event. Okay. And the key is now we have four events in the year. We got Valentine's Day. We did a product launch. We got National Pet Day and we got Black Friday. So we have four consistent sales spikes that are bringing these much needed cash injections into our business every quarter.
Can I add that you have those four, but if you are doing a sale like a Black Friday or a Prime Day or whatever you're doing, what we try to do is because we do see that spike is we'll have a pre-Black Friday sale. It could be a month out. It could be 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out. But at least with those, we try to get that we'll go into a dive just before Black Friday. Everybody's waiting. So to get that out, we'll offer another additional 5% off. And then that will get people's interest to come in and buy and for Black Friday or pre-Black Friday, which helps plateau the sales. I don't know if you do that, but that's just something that we try to do.
That's a good idea. No, that's a good takeaway for me today. I have not tried that. You obviously will do like early access before Black Friday, like a couple days out. But you know, there's two kinds of things that we do. There's these big moments that I'm talking about. And then there's like levers versus big events. A lever is when you need a cash injection and you don't have a plan. Okay. So like most people, I was talking, you know, we have over 2000 Shopify stores that we've helped through Merchant Mastery. So we have a massive community. We got like 70 clients at our agency, bigger brands. So I'm talking to merchants all the time. And I was interviewing someone the other day and I'm like, what did you do for your last product launch? Oh, I sent out one email. Our product has launched.
Yay. Okay?
and then I'm like, okay, cool. What else did you do in the year? I did an anniversary sale. What did that look like? Sent out an email. It's our anniversary sale. Surprise. Right? So the reason people typically do that is because they need a lever. So they're like, what's the reason I'm going to send out a sale? It's an anniversary sale. Okay. So we still need these levers. When we need cash, we're going to do a flash sale, free shipping this weekend. We still want to be able to pull those quick levers to get cash, but an anniversary sale should not be treated like a lever. It should be treated with the same gravity and magnitude of a Black Friday, where we're going to celebrate our history, show our upbringings, and show how much we've evolved and do something special for our customers. So we want to kind of use a combination between levers when we need them, but these big moments we are going to plan for far in advance.
I know that if you take a look at your Amazon sales, that there's a specific amount that Amazon's taking. Okay. They're grabbing. If you want to be on their account, on their platform, you're going to pay for it. And it's more than a pound of flesh right now. So curious. And I know I'm going to ask you this and you're going to say, how long is a piece of string? But just on average, if you were going to be promoting something on a Shopify store, how much of that would you dedicate towards your marketing?
Sorry, the spend?
Yeah. The overall marketing budget. Let's say marketing budget.
30%.
Okay. So do you know what Amazon is right now?
What's that?
50.
Yeah. Yeah. 30. It's 30. It's 30. Yeah. Like, especially if I'm thinking of ad spend, it's about 30 that we want to spend of our revenue. And here's how this is a good topic that you just brought up right now, Norm, because with Shopify, a lot of people, I've helped so many go from Amazon to Shopify. Like this is like my love language is helping people get onto Shopify. Right. So I've seen this so many times and it's new. People are like, oh my goodness. Like it's so expensive getting customers on Shopify. Yeah. In the beginning it is, because this is the big benefit of having a Shopify store, is you eventually own your list.
Yeah.
Those are people that you have the ability to remarket to, which it becomes an ATM at some point. Your community is so big. There's so many happy customers in that list. Anytime you email these folks, you're going to generate sales. But in the beginning, you don't have that platform. You don't have that community who you can market to. So every dollar needs to count. You spend money on ads. Your goal is to do a little bit better than break even. But this really geeky KPI that we get obsessed about in the Shopify space is your 60-day and 90-day lifetime value. Okay. So it's like we acquired this customer. We barely broke even on it. But the next time that customer buys, there's no more big ad cost.
Exactly.
It's more profit the second time, the third time, the fourth time. So these big quarterly events give customers a reason to come back and shop with you sooner than later. So we're getting the profit back from that investment quicker.
Now, to build a list, I'm curious. One of the things that I've done in the past, I don't really hear a lot of talk about it, but just to help build that list, if I have a natural product, have you ever used a sweepstake?
Okay, so I know a couple of people who are really successful with sweepstakes. We've dabbled with it over the years and made the decision to completely stay away from it. Mm-hmm. We just, that's just not an area that we have like deep, deep expertise in. The reason that we...
What's going on there? Somebody...
I have a fire alarm here.
Uh-oh, podcast may end shortly.
It may, yeah. I think it's...
You know what? Why don't you check that out? Okay. I'll bring Kelsey back on. And if everything's good, we'll get back to you.
I think we're good.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. So listeners, don't go away. Scott's still here.
Yeah, still here. Still here. Where were we going with that?
We were talking about sweepstakes, and I've used sweepstakes campaigns in the past to help build that first group of emails. And I found that it helps. But you were just saying that you're kind of keeping away from that.
We want to build our list with high intent. Oh, there's the alarm again. I might need to come back.
All right. Okay.
We'll see you later, Norm.
Okay. So Kels, come on board here.
All right.
Wow. So, you know,
this is a first.
Yeah, that's a first. So sweepstakes. If you don't know what this is, there's companies out there that you'll probably have to give a gift card away, you know, a few hundred bucks, and you have to pay. Depending on the sweepstakes company, but it might be a few thousand dollars. Usually, typically, it's a few thousand bucks. And they'll provide you with between 5,000 and 10,000 emails of a specific category. That could be all natural products, gifts for her, you know, gifts for him, something along those lines, pet products. So these are people that would be signing up for a relevant category. And what we've found early on, part of our launch strategy, is to go and try to find a company like that will do it. Now, like Scott was just saying, the quality of the list, you'd have to send it out and, you know, see what kind of responses that you get. But it's very important that you eliminate and that you just segment that list, segment that list as quick as possible. We do that with our emails, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we might want to just come back to this and do a quick ad read.
Why don't I do that? So yeah. I'll do an ad read. Okay. Let's see. You stay tuned, listeners. See if I, it's like NASCAR. See if I cause an accident. Hey, Amazon sellers, ever faced with account suspensions, ASIN hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardian, which is $99 a month or code NORM, $89 a month. Seller Basics offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys. And there's no long-term contracts, and you can cancel with just a month's notice. View Seller Basics as your Amazon account health plan and check out sellerbasics.com or check out Seller Basics at sellerbasics.com. There's the first accident. All right. Now for the disclaimers. Seller Basics isn't an insurer or law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary. Membership is needed before any events leading to claims, and terms apply. Okay, so let's get back.
Okay, and I think also we'll mention the Wheel of Kelsey giveaway today too.
Oh, the Wheel of Kelsey giveaway is awesome. Let me see. We've got, why don't you tell about the giveaway today, Kels?
Okay. So yeah, today's giveaway, if you're new to the podcast, we do this every single episode. Just write hashtag Wheel of Kelsey in the comment sections to enter. And today's giveaway is going to be a first level to the Compounding Promo Phenomenon Bootcamp from Scott. So Scott's going to come back. If he's able to come back, he's going to explain more about his boot camp and the details about it. But as you can hear from Scott, he's a pro. So make sure you enter. It's hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. If you take two people in the comment sections, you'll get entered. And so we're just talking with Scott in the background. Whenever it's good to go, we'll bring him back.
Okay. Why don't we bring him back now?
Okay, just let me double check. Okay, so Scott's good to go.
All right, you put the fire out.
The building's still standing.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, good.
Recap this thought, Norm. You were talking about, you know, I just wanted to close that thought about the sweepstakes. Yep. Like, we want to get high intent people onto our list. And we notice there's a lot of people that just join sweepstakes to get the prize. And we want to be really intentional with like really good people in that list. Cause with Shopify and we use Klaviyo, obviously we're a platinum partner.
Yeah.
Your fee gets really expensive when you have people who are not, when they're not qualified to be there. So you want to make sure you have high intent people.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. What I was saying, just as you had left, and that is to qualify. And so make sure, this is the downfall. You will get those types of people that are not going to answer your email. They were just in it for the sweepstakes. But if you move them off the list as quick as possible, you could send out, we have a 30 day. So if you don't respond to our newsletter and open it in 30 days, then we move you off the list. And that's the same thing over here. If you're trying to build up that community, yeah. And then you have to divide what that costs. If you it costs you a $400 gift certificate, $3,000, what did it cost for you to acquire that customer? So that would either tell me whether to move to sweepstakes again, you know, for later on, maybe in 6 months, whatever it is. But okay. So the other thing, so there's still lots to talk about. And I know we're short on time. But I do. Yeah. Kels.
I just want to quickly give a second. Scott, do you want to explain the, compounding promo phenomenon bootcamp, for the giveaway?
Yeah. This is the whole idea is that, you know, with merchant mastery at our team, even at our agency, we're always helping people with evergreen growth, but we've started to layer on these quarterly promotions, and the compounding promo bootcamp will help you plan which four promotions to run in the year. And we kind of give you some guidance on what to choose, how to plan it, how to position it. We give some templates for your like website layout. So it's kind of like really a good way to start planning this quarterly promotion where sales start to compound. That's one other important thing. When you're doing quarterly events, you'll start to see each subsequent sales spike grow because you're getting more new customers, more repeat customers.
Okay. Just wonder, is the alarm, is that because of the kitchen or is
no, it's like a building doing a fire drill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect timing, right?
I just walked out there and I saw that there was some people like leaving and they said that it was like a scheduled fire drill. I didn't know about it. I travel a lot, so I haven't been around for a couple of days.
Okay. So
or it's just fire. I think we're on fire over here. This e-commerce stuff is just burning up.
There you go. Let's talk about evergreen ads. So how do these ads contribute to your growth? And what are some of the limitations in these ads when it comes down to profit versus cash flow?
Yeah, that's the thing is that if you're just doing evergreen on its own, it's hard to squeeze out profit on just acquiring customers. Obviously, you have emails on the background, on the back end, so you can get some of those repeat sales. But it's these big events that you'll see in any kind of e-commerce sales chart. They inject a bunch of new cash into the business, which is where the profit is coming from. And you're never really tight on cash flow when you have quarterly successful campaigns driving that cash and sales injection into your business.
Okay. And I want to focus a little bit, and I know we've talked about it, but let's talk about the compounding promo phenomena. Okay. We've talked about it. We've gone through a little bit about it, but how does this contribute to sustained growth and improved cash flow?
We did some math for this and we were looking at this. So we looked at like dozens of agency clients. These are clients that they're doing $1 million months. Okay. So we got clients that are doing $1 million months. We got clients that are doing $500,000 months, $100,000 months in that range. Right. And we're looking at all of these campaigns and we're looking at when we are doing quarterly promotions versus when we weren't. And we typically say that your baseline will compound by 5 to 10% with each subsequent promotion. Hmm. I don't mean to drop too much math on you here, but we actually see the compounding effect going to play.
Okay. And then let's just take a look at risk. So what risk do businesses face if they fail to generate additional customer demand through various promotions?
If you're not running various promotions and you figure out evergreen, cash is tight and you can't prepare for your big events like Black Friday. We want to do Black Friday. It's generated by cultural demand, right? We want to piggyback off that. But if we're just doing evergreen, cash is tight. We can't properly prepare for the big event that's going to be the big cash injection, right? So if you're just doing evergreen, you're never like abundantly profitable, but yet you need to prepare for Black Friday and you need inventory and ad spend. So you don't really have the cash to do that. With these quarterly promotions, like I said, the spikes keep getting bigger and bigger, which means more cash and more comfort, more cash.
All right. Okay. Kels, why don't we get to some of the questions?
Okay. So we have a couple questions from Simon here. So going back to, let's do the omelet one too, because we love omelets here. So Simon says, I love omelets. However, I'm not good at the cooking. I have the chickens that make great eggs. I grow great preppers. I have all the ingredients, but how the heck do I make my omelet?
DBIF.
Yeah. It's hook. You just brainstorm. What are many hooks I can come up with that agitate the pain point of the buyer? Right. And just think of their average day. What was their average day like before using your product? It was terrible. Versus what is life like now using that product every day? It's amazing. So just by going through what that your customer is going through before and after using your product, you could create hooks with that, right? Remember we were talking about AG1 greens, say goodbye to your daily pill routine. That's before using their product. I was taking vitamins D and C and zinc and all this stuff every day. Now I just have one drink. So I'm creating hooks talking about the before and after of the average day. That's a good way to do it. And then with the TBIF value attributes, just brainstorm what are different transaction attributes I could use? What's your guarantee, your exchange policy? What kind of offer do you have? Do you have a welcome offer? Do you have a gift with purchase? Do you have limited time? Is it limited inventory? Brainstorm many transaction. Brand. Brainstorm many brand attributes. What are your values? What is your mission? What is your cause? What is your founder story? Brainstorm many influence attributes. What awards have you received? Certifications, social proof, magazines you've been featured in, customer testimonials, how many times you sold out, how many five-star reviews, and trends. And then TBIF, the last one is function. Literally, how does your product work to make your customer's life better? What are the features, the benefits? How do you wear it? How do you store it? How do you pair it with other items? Okay. And all you do is brainstorm many hooks, many TBIF value attributes, and then you mix and match them. And the way that we verify which version of the omelet is the best is a small ad spend. We don't shoot for the stars the first time we turn on a Facebook ad for our Shopify store. We start with a controlled experiment. We'll spend about $60 a day testing all of these omelets just to see which ones are the clear winners. When we find the clear winner, guess what we're going to do? We're going to scale it as far as we can.
Very good. Now I see that Simon did post something here.
Yes. So Simon says, I get all that, but how do I implement all of this while I'm busy tending to my chickens?
I guess you got to ask yourself, is it like, you know, you want to do this? How much of a priority is it? For me, positioning is the number one most important thing that's going to unlock your sales potential. Everybody thinks it's the sales channel. Scott, you know, I've had 100 businesses come to me in probably the last month being like, Scott, Facebook no longer works for my business. So I tried TikTok. That didn't work. So I tried Google. That didn't work. And they become channel chasers. And I'm telling you, it's not the channel's fault. It's not the channel that's going to unlock your sales potential. It's your positioning. It is the most important ingredient. When your positioning resonates with your market, more people are going to say yes. So if you're too busy tending to chickens all day, you might be neglecting the most important thing that unlocks your sales potential.
That's a great point. There's your nugget. That's the nugget. Yeah.
Okay. And last question is, let's say a brand is hooked on the Amazon crack pipe and decides to do rehab. Piece of string question, but how long does it take to replace Amazon revenue with Shopify revenue? 6 months, a year, 2 years?
The hardest part about growing on Shopify, which is numbing, it's going to make you want to quit, is getting to your first $1,000 per month. Mm. The second hardest thing, which almost makes you want to quit too, is getting to $10,000 per month. Okay, getting to $10,000 per month is also very hard. But once you get to that $10,000 per month mark, guess what starts happening? You start to have a customer base that you own, an email list that you own. Your platform starts to build, which means it's easier to get repeat business and treating your email list like that ATM I was talking about earlier. So I would typically see people get to like the 10K per month mark in about 3 months. Okay. So take about 3 to 4 months to get that 10K mark. And then it would probably take another 6 months to a year to get to that 100K per month mark. If as long as you got good products, you're a good entrepreneur and you're working with a good team to help guide you along the way.
So the beauty about Simon's brand is he's already got a very established brand. He was on Dragon's Den in the UK. He's sold to David Beckham and his family. He sold his products to the royal family. They Amazing. Have his products.
Yeah.
So to make the transition, it probably because you've already got the brand. It goes back to the positioning. It goes back to your strategies, your marketing strategies. But you might be able to do that, you know, quicker. It might take longer, but you've already got this. I wouldn't give up Amazon. You know, Amazon's there. It is a channel for you, but why not start building on Shopify? And while I'm on the talking about just being on Shopify, I also want to talk about something. I don't have an affiliate. Okay. When I talk about, you know, courses, it's because they're awesome. And Scott's got one, Merchant Mastery, and he takes people through this journey and he does it in a very specific way. You're not left with advanced strategies at the beginning. It's a walkthrough, you know, step one, step two, step three. So you kind of graduate to each level. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's we're really intentional with what kind of strategies we're telling you to do at each stage. Here's the problem. So I hear where Simon's coming from, right? Like there's a couple that's in Merchant Mastery Elite right now. They were doing about 1.5 million on Etsy per year. They're starting to see their sales decline a little bit. They went on to Shopify. They already had that fame. They already had that recognition. They already had some traction in the market. We're able to help them get to 10K per month in about, like I said, 3-4 months. And now they're on their path to 20 and then 40 and then 60. But the key is, like, a lot of people, what they typically would do is say, okay, Simon's a busy guy. He's got a farm. He's tending to chickens. It might be tempting to try and just hire an agency. I'm going to outsource this because I'm so busy tending to chickens. But that is too much horsepower for a little tiny baby business. When you're just getting started on Shopify, you're just a little infant. And we don't want to send an infant to a big old bad digital marketing agency. Agencies are great. We have one, right? We have an award-winning agency. But agencies are way better when you are already like building a lot of momentum. Agencies can take over and use their systems and processes and their discipline to test and validate and scale more quickly. But when you're a little infant on Shopify, you want to learn how to do the things that make your business money. So I've had some of the big executive people. I've a guy who has like one of the biggest boxing short companies in the world. He joined Merchant Mastery because he's like, Scott, I know how to do everything in my business, but this. I know how to be the janitor, the bookkeeper, the accountant, the buyer, the everything. I know how to do everything. But every time the people are talking about e-commerce, I feel like a dum-dum in my own business. Everyone's talking about Shopify. I'm not part of the conversation. So I was like, screw this. I know how to do everything else. I'm going to learn how to do this. And you go through four pillars: positioning, Shopify store optimization, email marketing, and then you launch those ads and test those omelets. And once you figure out a winning omelet, you're like, okay, great. I know how to do it. I'm not going to do this forever. Then you could start offsetting it and like delegating it to a team or to an in-house person. We actually train a lot of in-house people too, because they're just like, hey, I learned how to do it. Now my in-house person wants to do it. Teach them, which we do all the time.
Fantastic. By the way, Scott, give us a plug. Where and how do you sign up to your course?
Merchantmastery.io. Check us out there. There's a little tab in the top navigation bar called free training. That training actually goes through this 5-part formula in more detail than we did today. I know we kind of did the fast version. I think there's like a 15-minute version.
Yeah. Yeah. And once you, like I said, once you get it, it becomes part of your routine. You know, it's just so simple. It's just, okay, this is what we got to do. It's every time we have a new brand, this is what we're looking for.
Yeah. And whenever your sales are stuck, like we help, this formula is so simple, Norm. I'm so glad that you pointed that out and that you've adopted it, because it really is so simple. And even if people have a sales ceiling at 100,000 a month, 500,000 a month, a million a month, we go back to the same formula. We're like, let's go back and see if we can position this a different way to get through the next sales ceiling.
Okay. Now we just got a few minutes to go. If you have not signed up for the giveaway today, you're going to miss out on a great one. So it's hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. Tag two people. You got a second entry. And you'll get, Scott, again, just tell us what they're receiving today.
So you're going to get access to the Compounding Promo Phenomenon Bootcamp. I go into a lot of detail about how to compound your sales, how to position your campaigns, how to plan out your whole year to get a lot of success. So we'll give you access to that bootcamp there.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to just talk about the next sponsor read, and then we'll be right back with the Wheel of Kelsey, and we'll get you out of here on time. Okay, just want to talk a little bit about Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. This is a book that my buddy wrote, Colin Campbell, and it's all about the journey, your entrepreneurial journey. Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. He goes into detail and he breaks down each one of these modules into different sections. So it starts off with the story, the people, the money, and the systems that you'll need to graduate, go through, start, the same thing in Scale, Exit, and then Repeat. And it's also broken down into subcategories. I call it a entrepreneurial reference book. So he's also interviewed 200 people in this book. This is not AI generated. It was published by Forbes. He's talking with Joe Foster, the founder of Reebok, Vern Harnish, just some really top great guys. He's also talking about his business failures and his business successes. So check it out on Amazon. It's available in hardback, softback, Kindle, and on Audible. So that's Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. Okay, now let's head over to the wheel.
It's time for the Wheel of Health.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so let's see. I'm going to shuffle up these names, give it a spin, and we do this every single podcast. So make sure you come back and sign up next time. And it looks like the winner is Legendary Studios.
Ooh.
So
Legendary Studios. I guess that's a first-time winner.
So please email me, k@lunchwithnorm.com. Congratulations on your prize, and looking forward to your email.
Okay. Scott, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad we could work through the fire alarms. So that's – oh, there we go. So, I really appreciate you coming on again, and we got to have you on, later on, maybe in the next 3 months or so.
It's such a pleasure coming, Norm. I'm glad we were together able to survive the fire alarm. The fire inspectors actually just came in here right now. So everything's all good. We made it through. It's always an honor being here. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. And
want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcast, click over here. Lunch with Norm.